This is Focus here on WJR, and I am Stephen Henderson sitting in for Paul W. Smith today. I'm really glad that you're here joining us. I want to talk next about a scenario that unfolds from time to time here in Michigan. Some people may be familiar with this kind of thing. A business may want to build a plant or expand a plant near or in your community, and in advance, they go around and offer to buy up your house or your neighbor's houses in order to make all of that happen. This happened recently near the city of Flint. And after people agreed to sell their homes to change that community that way, the development never materialized. Paula Gardner is a reporter for Bridge, Michigan, and she wrote recently about this $261 million megasite that never materialized, even after people sold their homes, to help make it happen. Paula, welcome to Focus here on WJR.
Be here.
Let's start with what happened here quickly, and I guess why the plans for this mega site didn't ever happen in this community.
Yeah, so kind of a long backstory, but the state was bitterly disappointed when Ford Motor Company chose Kentucky and Tennessee for its largest facility investment ever. Mm-hmm. And that happened in 2021. And the state was still reeling from the pandemic. There was a lot of money going around as electrification was happening under the Biden administration. So, you know, things were really moving, except not in Michigan, thanks to Ford. So the state regrouped, tried to figure out what it could do to get ahead of other projects and actually get kind of a piece of some of that electrification money, some battery money. And it formed the SOAR Fund, which ended up being like $2 billion plus for big ticket items or big ticket incentive deals in the state. As part of that, the state decided that it was going to pursue its own mega sites. So not just having local economic developers or private developers pursuing like industrial parks, mm-hmm. but really looking at scale and trying to get a lot of acres. And so it decided it was going to start funding it. And that was part of its mission too. And as part of that, as it was looking for some of these large sites, the local economic development group in the Flint area was starting to kind of look around near Bishop Airport, and it found some property that it thought it that could be a mega site, and kind of the worlds converged. It was kind of the perfect storm there to just run fast at assembling this acreage. It started out being smaller. It started with probably like 10 farmers selling, or at least groups of parcels, mm-hmm. For about 980 acres, but there were 1,300 acres within the boundary. And within the space of 2 years, there were a lot of meetings, a lot of pitches to companies, and some pitches to the legislature. So all, you know, come to find out, $261 million was committed by the state to assemble this property. So the developer here is the state. Public money is assembling this mega site. Mm-hmm. And as part of it, there was a lot of secretive negotiations for the property. For example, homeowners could not disclose to other homeowners if they were selling or if they were getting deals. So that's kind of the background of how all of this came to be.
Yeah. And when it didn't happen, I mean, you're talking about a lot of change in this community, 165 mm-hmm. homes, a school, a church. That's a dramatic change in a small place. So what happens now that there isn't going to be this development?
Well, two things. One is it's still being marketed. So the money's been committed and companies are still available. You know, they can still look at it. Mm-hmm. They could still make offers. They can still pursue it. And we're not told because, you know, that's the path of economic development in Michigan and regular development. A lot of things do stay, you know, kind of under the cover of we're still negotiating. So we don't know if there's a deal close. We don't know if it's, you know, pending, if nobody's looking at it. We just don't know. But at the same time, the money is in hand by the Economic Development Group, and they are proceeding to basically level it. There are still some holdouts. Not everyone has sold. And when people sell, they get to stay in their house for like 4 to 6 months. So some of the deals that might be happening, say, this month, those homes may not be vacated for some time unless the deals have been changed. But the school, there was a $40 million offer for the school that was turned down. So we still have a public elementary school sitting, you know, in the middle of the mega site, and that's unresolved. And like I mentioned, there are some home, some holdouts, but, you know, tree leveling, you know, this huge pile of wood chips, there's a subdivision. Many of the homes there have sold. I think there are 3 or 4 holdouts there still. And they're planning on demolishing those homes soon. The township has given them permission for that.
We've only got about a minute and a half left, but it seems to me from reading the story, one of the things that the people of this community really wanted more of was information, communication. They wanted to be included more in the process. Is there, I guess, a consideration of how that might change for other kinds of developments to make sure that people actually know what's happening in their neighborhoods?
I think there's a move towards transparency, which has become a buzzword. People are demanding it. I think it's on legislators' radar. Developers and people in the economic development world are still uncomfortable with it, from what I see. A lot of questions going forward for how this actually changes anything, because it is in many ways business as usual.
Okay, Paula Gardner of Bridge, Michigan. Great story, and thanks for being here with us on Focus.
Oh, great. Thank you.
We're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about cars with Jamie Butters, a longtime automotive writer here in Southeast Michigan, who's on his way, in fact, to the New York Auto Show. We're going to hear about what he's going to see there, but he's also got a project in the works right here at WJR to talk more about autos and how we keep our primary industry kind of thriving here in Southeast Michigan. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll do that. Stay with us here on Focus.